We're good?
Okay.
No volume, okay. Praise the Lord. Let's, yes. Okay, so we're going to continue this week with having our lamp lit. It is remarkably important to have your lamp lit. That's the avenue that God uses to enlighten us. That's the way God brings revelation to us. If the lamp is not lit, it's very hard to see. If you're in a room and there's no light, you can't see much. So God wants to light our lamp.
Amen.
And our lamp, of course, is our spirit. So we'll continue on. Psalm 119, verse 130, Amplified Translation. I need to get my glasses here. Okay. The entrance and unfolding of your words give light. Their unfolding gives understanding, discernment, and comprehension to the simple. The entrance and unfolding of your word give light. Their unfolding gives entrance, or rather gives understanding, discernment, and comprehension to the simple. What do you hear when you hear that? What do you think about? What does it mean to you when you hear that? The unfolding, the entrance and unfolding of God's word gives light. It gives understanding, discernment, and comprehension. What do you hear?
If you just read God's word, but you don't have understanding or the Holy Spirit revealing it, then it's never going to give the light.
Yes, that we lose the depth of possibilities when we just superficially read something. That there is, Jesus said, I think it's in John 6:63, the words that I speak are spirit and they are life. So there's spirit life in the Word of God, so that if we just simply read something but don't invest ourselves in it, we'll miss out on so much. And the Holy Spirit of God is not going to force us to learn. He's not going to force us. So the word must first enter your spirit. How do we do that? Well, we do it first by reading it. We read the word. But after that, after we have read the word, because we don't always understand things immediately, at least I don't, you know. I have to look things up. I have to pray over them. I was telling you a few weeks ago, I'd listened to a message, I think, up to 30 times. I'm probably up to 40, 45 now. Same message. Why am I doing that? Why do you think I'm doing it? Because I have nothing else to do? I'm neurotic? Obsessive compulsive? Why do you think I'm doing that? Any thoughts?
You want to get it in your spirit.
Yeah. I want to get it in my spirit. I want to get it in. Years ago, I was listening to Norval Hayes on a message on Romans 4:17, calling those things that be not as though they were. And he had two separate cassettes at that time because it was in the 80s. And I listened to each one, and they were both messages on the same verse. It's just that he had given them one here and one somewhere else. Probably at least 30 times each, and perhaps more. So that's over 60 times one message. And a lot of people thought that was nuts. Why would you have to listen to something over 60 times? Because we don't get it the first time. We don't get it the second time. often we don't get it the 10th time. It takes time to get it in. But it got in. It got in. It took a little while, but it finally did get in. I still listen to it from time to time. Why would I do that? I still listen from time to time. I don't want to run out like a leaky vessel. We must therefore pay more careful attention to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. And of course, the literal Greek says, run out as a leaky vessel. We don't want to run out as a leaky vessel. I don't want to lose it. I don't want to lose it. So that word, with the help of the Holy Spirit, must be unfolded, explained, interpreted, comprehended, and understood as it moves towards faith. And that's why Jesus had him write this in 1 Corinthians here. A very familiar verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It says here, verse 7, we speak the hidden wisdom of God in a mystery. Well, if we stop there, we go, well, thanks very much. That's not helping me. But it doesn't. The hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages. Verse 9, it says, eye hasn't seen, nor has ear heard, nor has entered into the heart. Now, the heart there are the senses, the five senses of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Again, if you stop, you go, well, that's great, but that's not helping me. But we keep reading in verse 10, but God has, not will, has revealed them. What's them? What's them? He's revealed them. What is them? The hidden wisdom. The things that you and I aren't going to understand just by reading it. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about things that, if we just simply read it, I mean, is there any portion of the Bible you've read that you think, well, that's great, but I don't know what it means? Sure there is. We all have that. That's why we need the help of the Holy Spirit. We need his help. We need his help. But he's revealed it to us through the Spirit, through his Spirit to our spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, the deep things of God. Then it goes on to say in verse 12 that we've received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit is from God, the Holy Spirit, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us. And how is that done? Well, I hope you've written it in your Bible, the explanation that I have given repeatedly. It says that these things we also speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but that which the Holy Spirit teaches, interpreting, revealing, and communicating spiritual truths to spiritual people, spirit to spirit. Now, in order to have that, you've got to connect to the Holy Spirit. If you're not connected to the Holy Spirit, he can't tell you. And that requires time and investment. It takes time and it takes an investment. And too often, we're looking for a Mac insight. You know, a Mac insight? We want it now and we want it quickly. And we don't want to invest ourselves into it. But anything that you have achieved, you have to invest yourself into it. You have to invest. If you don't invest yourself, you don't get it. And sometimes it's a lot of hard work. You know, you want to be an engineer? It's hard work. You want to be a chartered accountant? It's hard work. It's a lot of hard work. If you want to be successful in working at your job, you want to be a nurse? It's hard work. It's hard work. To get your degrees, it's hard work. You have to invest yourself in it. And sometimes along the way, it feels like, boy, this is a bit overwhelming. But you look at the goal and you think, this will be worth it. It'll be worth it. It'll be worth it. We have to look at the goal in God. The goal in God is that we'll connect with the Holy Spirit and we will be able to receive the hidden wisdom. The Holy Spirit is going to tell us things that other people don't know because their lamp's not lit. And even many Christians don't invest themselves in learning about God. You know, it's amazing how successful the devil has been on this planet to convince people that no matter who you are, and you know, unless you have murdered and raped 100 people, you're going to heaven. You're just going. Some of the nastiest people at their funeral, well, people say, well, he or she is in a better place. How do you know that? Well, that's just the way it is. It's just the way it is. In some denominations, by virtue of being born into that denomination, you're going to heaven. Period. There's no understanding of the requirement. And when I have occasionally asked and said, how do you know you're going to heaven? What is the criteria? They get mad. They get mad at me and say that I'm, you know, a spiritual elitist and so forth. And the reason for that is that they don't know why they think they're going to heaven. They don't know. They were just told that. But it's critical. See, this is your eternity. It's eternity. And I would think that we would be really interested in knowing about our eternity. We want to know. Don't you want to know? We want to know. And God, in His graciousness, makes that possible. He makes it possible that we can know, but not without investment, not without giving ourselves. In Psalm 119, that's why we must have the Word, because the Word is what brings the light. In Psalm 119, verse 105, it says, your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. What does that mean? The Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. What do you hear when you hear that? The Word is a lamp. See, that's important to think about it. What does it mean? The Word is a lamp. Well, what does a lamp do? Gives light. Gives light. So without that lamp, we're missing something, and perhaps something critically important. The Word is a lamp that enlightens darkness. The Word of God entering the human spirit enlightens our darkness. What's darkness? What is the darkness? Well, the darkness is any area that you're struggling in, whether you know it or not. And it could be typically sickness or disease, depression, mental illness, poverty, lack of joy, failure, recriminations, sinful thoughts, actions, behaviors, any area where we're struggling in. That's our darkness. And the Spirit of God, see, the wonderful thing about the Spirit of God is that even if we don't know about an area, pride, you know, often we're blind to that, the Holy Spirit doesn't come and beat you over the head. That's the wonderful thing about God. He's gracious. So even when He's got to correct us, it's done in a gracious manner. And it's always for our good. Always for our good. That's the wonderful thing about God. Even how to grow closer to God. The Holy Spirit will enlighten that. He will enlighten how we can approach God. He'll give us wisdom and understanding in the ways of God. See, that's the thing, is we must understand that wisdom comes out of the mouth of God through the Word and through the Holy Spirit speaking us. And that wisdom from His Word really is revealed and conceived in the human spirit. It's seated there. Seated. What does that mean, it's seated? What do you hear when you know, when I say to you it's seated? Do you remember some time ago when I said about when someone has developed something and has become fruit in their lives and they share it with you? You know, how does it come? Oh, here it is. I got it right here. How Bible truth comes. All Bible truth comes to you in seed form. For those who are teaching you or sharing a testimony of things that have worked for them, that truth has become fruit in them now. But it's not transferred to you as fruit. It comes to you as seed. Whether it bears the same fruit in you depends on what you do with it, because all truth comes in seed form. Now, if you do what they did and abide in my word, this was a prophecy, by the way, given many years ago at a Kenneth Hagin conference. If you do what they did and abide in my word, that seed will grow in you also, and the truth will make you free, just as it has for them. So, back to the question. How does it come to them? How does it come? It's why must it be seeded?
To grow.
The first time something is revealed to you, you don't just walk in it forever and ever, amen. It has to grow. The revelation of it grows inside of you as you nurture it. First time I heard about healing, I was not healed. I desperately needed and wanted to be, but I was not. Now, I got excited about it, but it was just a seed. It had to be nurtured and cared for and given time to grow. And you know what? The wonderful thing about God's wisdom and the light of God is that it will light your darkness when everybody else around you doesn't know what to do. They don't know what to do. Others could be wringing their hands, not knowing, but the Spirit of God has revealed it to you. He has conceived and seeded it into your spirit. But you need to saturate yourself in it. Soak in it. Study it, ponder it, pray over it. Ask the Spirit of God to reveal more and more to you. And He will. He will. And the wonderful thing, one of the things that is almost difficult for us to understand is that this word of God, Jesus said in John 6:63, it is the Spirit who gives life. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. This word of God is the living word. It's hard to grasp that. That words on a page can become living inside of us. How can it do that? Because it's the Word of God. And God has put His Spirit life into this Word. And He has said it's the Spirit who gives life. So when you meditate on this, when you read it, when you pray over it, when you ask God for help, the Holy Spirit infuses you and this word with spiritual life, and it becomes living inside of you, and it affects your total being. It will cause you to make correct decisions even when you don't know why you made them. Because the wisdom of God is operating in you. It'll bring healing to your physical body and your emotions, to your soul. Psalm 107 verse 20, He sent His word and healed them. What does that mean? He sent His word and healed them. What do you hear? What does that mean to you? He sent His word and healed them. Any thoughts? See, it's important what it means to you, because what you think is what it will do. Mm-hmm. That's true. What does it mean?
That as I read and meditate on His word, it will bring healing power into my life.
Mm-hmm. What else? Any other thoughts?
A particular verse will heal a certain area of our life. Like, for example, Timothy, where it says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of sound mind. So, a verse.
Right. How does it do that? That's the importance. How does it do? As the revelation of that verse becomes real to you and turns into faith, the words that are there actually produce what it says, and you are delivered from fear. See what I'm saying here? Now, when He says He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions or afflictions, He sent His word and healed them. He sent His word and healed them. Now, the word healed, again, is sozo. So, He sent His word, that's the whole Bible, and sozoed them. What does sozo mean? To be made whole. So, this, He's saying that the word has been sent to us to make us whole. To make us whole. So that every part of it can do something. Every part of it. We don't have to have just this area. But every single part of it can do something in us. If we'll invest ourselves in it. Now, in doing this, it's important that this is not something that, God, I need healing, so my verse today is such and such. I'll let you know if I have another need. That's not how it works. It is a living relationship. In fact, Jesus said, and let's turn to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. He was very, very clear on this point. Because, unfortunately, sometimes people think that I can claim something. Period. Because I read it and claimed it. Otherwise, I can do as I please. It does not work like that. In John 15:7, Jesus said, "If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask whatever you desire, and it shall be done for you." Now that sounds like a wonderful promise, doesn't it? Anything I want, I can have. Is that what it's telling me? Sort of. Sort of. That's the answer. Now, what does it mean, sort of? Well, it's conditional. It's conditional. If you abide in me, what does that mean, if you abide in me? If you abide in me. And why would He have to add, and my words abide in you? Well, that's true, but what? It seems almost a little redundant, but it's not. So if you abide in me, what does that mean? What do you hear when you hear that? If you abide in me.
Staying in relationship and continuing in the word.
Staying in relationship? Yeah.
Making a conscious decision to have intimacy with the Holy Spirit who reveals Christ to our hearts and just maintain that intimate connection is how we abide. And then he says, you obey me, you obey my commandments, and you love me. So it's a relationship.
It is a relationship. It is a relationship. Any other thoughts?
You are saved.
Saved? Absolutely, you have to be saved. If you abide in me. What does the word abide mean? Take up residence. If you take up residence in me, does that change it at all? If you take up residence in me, what do you hear then? If you take up residence in me. That's what he's telling us. See, because we want our prayers answered, don't we? I mean, when you pray for something, you want God to say, amen, yes, you can have this. Well, he's telling us now how that can be possible. If you take up residence in me, he's also telling us why often we don't get our prayers answered. Taking up residence with him means staying this close to God. This close. If you abide in me, it is not just having a relationship, because you can have a bad relationship with someone. It is having a close, intimate, loving, cherished relationship with God. Like this. Not perfect. Please hear this. We do not have to be perfect. Everybody stumbles. Everybody. That's why we have 1 John 1:9. If you confess your sin, he's faithful. Not only to forgive, but to do what else? Cleanse. So, but it's not a habit. So what he's saying is that if you maintain a close, intimate, loving, positive relationship with me, and my word, this word of God, what does he say here exactly? And you
abide
in you. My words abide in you. The word abide means live. Live. And my words live in you. What do you hear when you hear that?
Speak the word only.
Speak the word only. Yeah. What else? What other thoughts do you hear?
Words being continuously planted and nurtured and grown and produced fruit.
Good. 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 Anyone else?
Believe what I say.
Yeah, absolutely. And my words live in you. In other words, what he's saying here with this part is that the word of God, in order for it to be a living word inside of us, we have to be practicing it. We have to, that has to be our standard of life, that the word of God directs our lives. It directs it. Our decisions are based on the counsel of the word of God. And through the counsel of the Holy Spirit. It is much, much, much more than having a Bible verse for the week. You know? That having this kind of intimacy with God is rare, quite frankly. Very rare. That to live, it's when you boil it all down, it's living for Jesus, but really living for Jesus. You know, sometimes people say, you know, I'm living for Jesus, but their lifestyle tells otherwise. So he's saying that if you do these things, if you live for me and stay in an intimate relationship, positive intimate relationship with me, you can ask whatever you like. Now, why would he say that? You can ask whatever you like and it'll be done.
Because what we ask will be in line with what he's planned for us.
Bingo. Say it again.
Because what we ask is will be in line with what he has planned for us.
We will not ask for things that are against his will. If we are in that kind of intimacy with God, we'll only want to do the things that please God. That's what he's saying there. That's a very, very deep commitment. Now, John 14, 23, is it? Jesus said to them, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word." You want to love God? He looks to see if we're obeying his word. We don't obey his word, in his mind, we don't love him. "So if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." What's he telling us there? He's telling us God's going to take up residence inside of us because he's so happy with the way we're living, he wants to be there. God wants to be there. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit will come and make a home in our spirit. The abiding word in our human spirit will create a lifestyle that draws God and makes him want to stay with us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How are we doing here? We had enough? John 14, 23. Can we handle one more point? Okay, well, actually, it's 4 points, so maybe we won't. We'll wait. So, Lord, we thank you that your word is truth. It's wonderful truth. Help us. God, help us, please. Because we really do love you. Our hearts are such that we want to draw close to God. What we really need is help. Help to understand that the kind of commitment you're calling us to and discipleship is 100%. It's really you're looking for people who are willing to commit completely to you. And Lord, we want to be those people. But we need the help of the Holy Spirit. We can't do it without you, Holy Spirit. We can't do it. So we invite you and ask you, Holy Spirit, to help us. Even as we start a little bit every day. A little bit every day. You know, that we set the goal, intimacy with God. Develop a plan. Be willing to moderate the plan as needed. But we do a little bit every day. Every day. And as the Spirit of God directs us, we modify the plan and increase the time with the Lord. Because the things that we listen to is what affects us. So if we spend 6 hours a day on TV and even 1 hour with the Word, what's going to impact us the most? The TV. And I assure you, the news on the TV isn't very good. And it doesn't change all that much. You know, it's bad news today, it'll be bad news tomorrow, and there'll be bad news next week. The Word of God gives us hope. Gives us hope. And God loves you. You know, that's the neat thing, is God loves you. Amen? Amen.
John,
yes?
I'd like to have a testimony about what you're speaking about. Well, the last month has been pretty crazy at our house. And August 27th, I can never 10 to 12 in the middle of the night. Everybody's sleeping, and there's so much going on that's bad, negative. We're believing God for so many